I've enjoyed this series that we're doing, and I hope you too have enjoyed our walk through the book of Genesis, discovering the various families, the lives of the individuals that are recorded in God's Word. It has not only been a time of rediscovering lessons that God has laid out for us in the Bible, but it's been a time for me personally to do some reflection and some thinking about my own family and my own journey with God. We're all on a journey. We're all headed somewhere. God loves us. God wants what is best for us. He desires us to be healthy, healthy individuals, healthy families, healthy church. That is what he wants most. If you look in the bulletin and you see this every week, the journey that God has us on, our mission, to come to know Jesus Christ. To come to know Jesus Christ. Those aren't just words. That is something that we desire here at Point Loma, is to come to intimately know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And then to worship and to fellowship together as Christians here in this place. It's an opportunity for us to study God's Word, to learn, to build community. And if you look on that cycle that we are on, you will see maturity. Maturity is something that we desire, that we seek here. And that maturity only comes through knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That maturity comes when we make a decision to be healthy, to be a functional family of God here at Point Loma. That is a desire that we all have. And so as we study the life of Jacob, we see that God has Jacob on that same journey that we are on here. Have you ever been in a wrestling match? Sometimes, you know, as young people, we like to pit our strength against someone else, especially guys. You know, women don't often tend to do that. They pit their minds against each other. Guys, though, we like to rough it up a little, you know. And in high school, especially if you live in a dorm, how many of you lived in a dorm at some point in your life? I want to see if I have any comrades. Oh, my goodness. And we all know what that's all about. What dorm life is about. You know, there's always this pecking order, and you're always trying to climb the ladder. You're always trying to be the top dog, you know. And I remember my freshman year, I just came right out of the jungles of Borneo. In fact, they called me the wild man of Borneo. And I had curly hair, believe it or not, and it was kind of like an afro in a way. And I was right out of the jungles of Borneo. And, you know, when you live in the jungles, you kind of take on a survival persona. You know, you're tough, you know, you're strong, you think you got it all figured out because you've had to survive and rough it in the jungles. And I had taken a few classes in martial arts, and I thought, as a freshman, you know how freshmen are, you know, they think they know it all, and they think they're tough and bad, and a lot of it's just blowing smoke, you know. But I remember one of the guys in the dorm, he was a sophomore, his name was Cecil Lamberton, and he was from Thailand, and he had taken Thai boxing, and, you know, he and I got to talking one day, and I said, well, you know, I've taken some martial arts too. In Malaysia, they call it silat. It's a form of a martial arts. It's very interesting to watch it because it's mostly done in a sort of a crouching position, sometimes even down on the ground. It's a very interesting style. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe he and I ought to have a bout to see who could whip the other guy, you know. And he said, okay, no problem. Let's go outside, you know. And he put boxing gloves on. I put boxing gloves on, and so we thought we'd kind of spar a little bit, and we sparred around, and I took a couple hits to the rib cage, you know, and that hurt a little bit, you know, and I punched him back, and then he hit me in the side of the head, and I was kind of staggering, you know. I'd never been hit in the side of the head, even, you know, and so it was kind of like, woo, you know. And then he took advantage, and he hit me again in the side of the head, and this time it was, you know, and I went down, flat on my back. I was out only for a few seconds, but let me tell you, that taught me a lesson, all right? It taught me a lesson that I'll never forget. Sometimes we bluff through our way through life. Sometimes we work hard to create a life that we want. But at some point in our life, at some point in our journey in life, we come up against God and we wrestle. I can guarantee you every Christian that I've ever known, anyone who has ever attempted to understand God and to know God, knows that there is a time in our life where we wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, but against spiritual things. But nobody likes to lose, do they? Nobody likes to lose. We always want to win. We want to win in every aspect of our lives. We want to win because it's important to us. It kind of feels, it feeds our egos. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel powerful and dominant. And so often in life we demand that we have our own way. And so we fight to get our own way. Well, you know, it's because our environment has sort of taught us that we need to fight. All around us we see models of power and we see models of dominance. We see political systems. We see religious systems, monetary, financial systems, social and class structures, and military systems. And the key is to dominate. The key is to struggle. The key is to wrestle. The key is to gain power, to try to find your way to the top, even with our own personal relationships. Let's face it. We see it all around us in our own personal relationships. We see wives that have been abused by husbands. We see children that have been abused by parents. We see husbands that are browbeaten. We see marriages that are demoralized and broken down. We see children estranged from their parents and from their families. We see old people neglected and left alone to die. All of this brokenness that we see in the world around us is a direct result of selfishness and a relentless driving need to have it our way. You know, I don't know if you've noticed like I, that people who always have to win usually end up running out of tracks. You ever notice that? People that always have to be the top dog, people that always have to be the boss, people that always have to win in everything that they do, they often run out of tracks and eventually end up between a rock and a hard spot. It may not happen when they're young, it may not happen when they're middle-aged, but eventually it does happen. I've lived long enough to see the results of a life that is centered and focused on self. And that is exactly where we find our friend Jacob today. Chapter 32, if you have your Bibles, Jacob has left his father-in-law's home and he has vanished and disappeared. His father chases him down looking for him because he took everything. He took his flocks, he took his wives, his children, and he fled. He left without telling Laban, his father-in-law, that he was leaving. Now that was a no-no. So Laban went after him and found him. And if you read the passage, you'll find out that Laban said, "Listen, Jacob, I could hurt you." Laban's not happy. "I could hurt you for what you did. You took away my daughters. You take away my grandchildren without even telling me. I didn't even have a chance to say goodbye." Laban is not a happy father-in-law. But they eventually work out a deal and they make peace with each other. Laban is given the opportunity to say goodbye to his daughters and his grandchildren. But that's not the end of the story for Jacob. You think, wow, whew, that's over with. No, Jacob is between a rock and a hard spot. Behind him, he has a father-in-law that probably wouldn't be very happy if he came back. There would be trouble if he went back. But going ahead, there's trouble too, because now he has his brother that he left so long ago, afraid that Esau would kill him. He ran away from home. Now that man, that brother Esau, that older brother, is on his way. He's on his way. He's got 400 men with him. And there is anger in his eyes. He has not forgotten the way that Jacob had treated him. He has not forgotten that Jacob had stolen his birthright. He has not forgotten that, and he is on his way to no good. And Jacob has finally reached that spot in his life where he has run out of tracks. He has run out of ideas. He has always been on the top of things. He's always been the one who was sharp in the mind. He was always the one who had a plan A, B, and C. This time he has no plan except survival. Now he's in a survival mode. You ever been there before? You ever been in a survival mode? Behind you, you've burned the bridges. In front of you, uncertainty. You don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea. From day to day, you live from day to day, wondering and hoping that your future will be bright. Not knowing what will take place. And so Jacob has run out of tracks. He's between a rock and a hard spot. He has, as they say, hit rock bottom. If you've ever been on rock bottom, it's not a nice place to be. It's not a comfortable place. It's not a warm place. It's not a cozy place. It's not a place you want to pitch your tent. It's not a place that you want to stay for very long. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of loneliness. It's a place of sorrow and sadness. A place where you feel rejected. And now in his darkness, in the darkest hour of his life, he turns to God. Isn't it sad that often we have to wait till we've hit rock bottom before we turn to God? Isn't that so typical of us as humans? When things are going good, when things are great, we just kind of cruise along. And we say, God is good, God is great, praise the Lord. But Jacob here in verse 9 through 12, chapter 32, we have recorded, then Jacob prayed. Listen to the prayer of Jacob here. Then Jacob prayed. How long had it been since Jacob had prayed? How long had it been since Jacob had asked God to guide his ways, to lead him, to show him what to do next? And here it says he prayed to God, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness. Wow, there's a start. When you've hit rock bottom and there's no place to go and you've come from a hard place and now you're stuck between that rock and that hard place, a good place to be is reminding yourself of God's promises and His blessings. God is always faithful, amen? God will never let you down. His promises are sure. He is faithful and true, amen? And so Jacob is laying there and he's looking up and he's saying, God, the God of Abraham, I know you loved my grandfather Abraham. The God of Isaac, my father, I know you loved my father and blessed him. But now, God, now I am seeking you. He reminds God, as if God needs to be reminded, that he promised. He promised to bless him. But I like verse 10. I am unworthy. I am unworthy. And I can't help but think that as he said that, he kind of choked on it. Jacob pretty much thought he was worthy all the time. He had it all. Huge flocks. Camels, sheep, goats, cattle, servants, money, everything he needed. He had it all. But suddenly he realizes that all that he had was of no value because he needed God in his life. And so he calls out to God, I am unworthy, and all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. Oh, now he's a servant. And I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. And then here he goes, promising God, reminding God of his promises again. But you have said, O God, I will surely make you prosper and will make you your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. Do we see a change of heart here? Do we see a progression from a know-it-all, from a tough guy, from the wise, smart aleck that he once was, to someone who now needs God in his life in a very deep way? It's not surface anymore. It's heavy duty. It's the WWF. He's wrestling now with the big time. And he knows it. And he spent that night there. And then he began to come up with a plan. This guy is incredible. Now he's assured himself that God's with him. He's prayed to God. He's asked God, what shall I do? And then what did he do? He comes up with a plan. And that plan is to send a gift, to send a peace offering to his brother Esau. And you can read that portion, how he divides up his flocks and he sends the sheep herders ahead, and he sends the camel herders and the oxen herders, and they come in groups and waves of offerings to his brother, hoping that somehow his brother will be impressed and will say, wow, you know, this is incredible. My Jacob loves me again, and Jacob doesn't want to harm me. He doesn't want to fight me. He's giving me all these gifts. He's trying to impress Esau with what he has. He also has a plan to save his family. At least he hopes it's a good plan. And he divides them up. But the part I want to focus on this morning is Genesis 32, verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok, the creek. After he had sent them across the stream, he set over all of his possessions. He separated this group. So Jacob was left alone. That is such a depressing word, alone. Here he is alone in the hardest time of his life, in the most difficult time, in the darkest hour of his life. He is alone. That's what it says here. And all alone there on that riverbank, he is thinking about his past. He is thinking about his future. He is thinking about his present. He is reminding himself that God loves him and cares for him, but he's also reminding himself that there's a brother not too far from him that wants to kill him. And as he's sitting there, kneeling there on the riverbank in the damp, moist ground with his face turned up to heaven, and he's praying to God, suddenly a hand grabs him from behind. And he wrestled, it says, verse 24. He says, a man wrestled with him all night long. Have you ever wrestled? Have you ever wrestled all night long? I'm not talking about a physical wrestling match with somebody else. I'm talking about a wrestling match with God. He wrestled all night long with this man who had come, and he saw that this person was a threat. He was afraid that maybe it was Esau, or maybe it was one of Esau's men come to kill him, to destroy him. And so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the hip, the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. Boy, you would have thought that Jacob would have been more than glad to let him go at that point. But suddenly, Jacob realized who he was wrestling with. Suddenly, he knew that the man that he was wrestling with was not someone that was human, but this was a supernatural power. This was someone who was from heaven, a messenger from heaven. And he said, his response was, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me. If you've ever wrestled with God, the one thing you need to remember when you're wrestling is to not let go, is to never let go of God. And ask Him to bless you. Jacob wouldn't let go. He was tenacious. He was determined. He knew that his future depended on this blessing that God was going to give him. And so the man asked, "What is your name?" And Jacob answered, "My name is Jacob." And then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but your name will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men, and you have overcome." Sometimes in our lives, we need to lose so that we can win. Sometimes in our lives, we need to let go of all of those things that stand in the way of our knowing God. Sometimes in our lives, we need to be like Jacob and recognize that our future, our present and our future, depends on our relationship with God. And so Jacob leaves that place. A changed man. His life has changed. His attitude has changed. His outlook on the future has changed. He is now a humble man of God. He has laid down his own free will, and he has allowed God's will to be manifest in his life. And as a result of that change, that fundamental change in his life, God renames him. He's no longer Jacob. He is Israel. Because he wrestled with man and he wrestled with God. Jacob started that fight determined to win. He started that fight determined to destroy his attacker. And it says right here in the scriptures that the person that was wrestling with Jacob realized that Jacob was strong. He was strong and he was determined. He went into that fight a determined man and came out limping. Physically broken, but spiritually empowered. Empowered because he realized that in order to win, he had to lose. He had to lose everything that he saw as valuable. Everything that he had wrestled for, everything that he had struggled for, everything that he had grappled for, he had to lay that down there on the riverbank, and he had to hold on to God and not allow God to leave. And he asked God to bless him. And God did bless him, and God did change his name. And he became a winner. A winner because he had finally learned to give it all to God. In this time of year, when we think about our families, when we think about healthiness in our families, when we think about giving gifts to other people and receiving gifts from other people, we realize that money can't buy the most important gift, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, who came to this earth as a gift. He was born in a manger. He walked the paths of this life. He struggled through this life. He died on a cross so that you and I would have hope, so that you and I would have a future, so that you and I could claim the promises of eternal life through Jesus Christ. But we all, like Jacob, need to learn to give it all. The song that I'm reminded of, and there are many, but this one in particular came into my mind. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love, will ever praise Him. I surrender all. I surrender all. I saw God's face. And yet my life is spared. Those are the words of Jacob. After that wrestling match there on that riverbank, after his heart had changed, after his life had changed, after he accepted Jesus fully into his life, completely into his life, he became a changed man. And he said, I saw God's face, and I'm still alive. My challenge to you and God's challenge to you from His Word is to continue to struggle with those things that cause dysfunction in our lives, to recognize our deep need for healing and for healthiness, and to wrestle and struggle with that, and to ask God to be a part of that wrestling, to be a part of that struggle, so that you and I can someday say, I've seen His face. I've seen His face.